Welcome to the Plant Centered and Thriving Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Kitchens. I'm a plant-based registered dietitian and virtual nutrition mentor. I was raised on an Angus cattle farm, grew up with a lot of GI issues, and used the power of plant-based eating to promote healing. Here you'll find inspiration, ideas, and encouragement for your own plant-based journey. I'm so thrilled you're here today. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Plant Centered and Thriving Podcast. My name is Ashley, and today I'm here with Katie. And we are going to talk about people giving you a hard time for being plant-based. And why is that? Why do people get so upset when you tell them that you are plant-based? What's going on here, Katie?
Just humans being humans. Why do we do the things we do? Oh, it's one of my favorite things to talk about, because I feel like if we understand the why, we can, it just helps us be less emotional about things. It helps us have more empathy. It helps us understand better, understand where they're coming from, understand where we're coming from, understanding our why. So let's just dive into why we do the things that we do.
Let's do it. So if you're plant-based, or if you're transitioning to plant-based or thinking about going plant-based, you may have experienced some form of like an unkind comment, or maybe even like unsolicited advice when it comes to your eating habits, which can be really challenging. I know Katie and I have both been there because we've talked about it before preparing for this podcast, but it can be really difficult, especially when you're transitioning to plant-based eating, to hear like maybe like snide comments or remarks about the way that you're eating and why maybe you should or shouldn't do it, or you get that advice from people that maybe you don't really want. And it can just take the fun out of plant-based eating. And we're going to talk about why that may be. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite authors, Dr. Doug Lyle. And he wrote a book called The Pleasure Trap, him and Alan Goldhammer, Dr. Alan Goldhammer. And we're going to talk a little bit about that book and just some tips and tricks that they say why people give you a hard time for being plant-based. But before we even get into that, in researching for this podcast, there was a study that popped up, and we'll link it below. There's a study from McInnes and Hodson from 2017, and they basically showed that vegans feel discriminated against and marginalized even by friends and family. And they go in and talk about it, about how there's this prejudice towards vegans and how it's more severe than maybe prejudice against vegetarians, which I found really interesting. And then what's even more interesting is that men being vegan, they're the quote, most despised group. And meat eaters are particularly negative towards vegans who avoid eating meat for reasons of animal welfare compared to those who do it for health reasons, which I also found pretty fascinating.
I think that's really interesting. And I've definitely noticed, maybe not personally, but definitely noticed like just in the overall webosphere, I guess, of the plant-based community that for whatever reason, if you say it's for your health, no problem. But if you say it's for the animals, like that's when it just rubs some people the wrong way. So we can talk about it. Let's get it all out.
Let's do. And before we even get there, Katie, did you have any experience or any reaction from family or friends when you told them that, because you started, but you were vegetarian first, right? And then went plant-based.
Yeah, I was vegetarian first. So when I went vegetarian, it was really easy because I lived in a very kind of progressive, small kind of hippy dippy granola town in Athens, Georgia. Shout out to Athens. So many of my peer group were vegetarian, and it was very commonplace. There were vegetarian and vegan restaurants there. And this was back in like 2006. So that was like forever ago. So that was not commonplace. And then when I came back to North Carolina, where I am now, yeah, I still get weird looks when I tell people that I'm vegan. Not necessarily that it's something that they've never heard of, but it's kind of like, they almost like roll their eyes like another one, you know. It's just a kind of an alternative, still kind of considered an alternative lifestyle, a little bit on the extreme. And for whatever reason, you know, we're going to get into it. It makes people feel like your decisions are making their decisions seem wrong. And so they immediately kind of feel like it ruffles some feathers. And so immediately some people, not everybody, some people have been totally fine with it, but some people, I think they just take it personally. Like if we choose to do this, we're automatically saying that they're, the way they do it is wrong. And some plant-based people, they would say, yes, that's exactly what I think, but not all of us do that. So it's just like any other group, you know, we don't all think monolithically. Like everybody has their own journey and their own reason for doing things. And so I think it's important for everybody to remember that, but we'll dive into that.
Yes, we will. We'll definitely dive into that. Because today what we're speaking to mostly are the people who get upset by you going plant-based or by going vegan for sure. Yep. And not, I mean, I would say my experience is somewhat similar, but not, because I was raised on an Angus cattle farm and our family had moved away because I was in my mid-20s when I first went plant-based, and my family had since moved away from the farm, but that was still deeply ingrained in our family. You know, I was raised in the Midwest in a small town, and meat was a very centralized part of our diet, just like it is in so many cultures, so many traditions, so many holidays, so many meals in general. And I think the biggest reaction that I got was like, well, I don't know what to cook for you. Like, what are you going to eat type of thing was the most challenging thing when like I would come back home or visit for holidays. And so I think it took me sort of helping them out, helping them understand that it really isn't that challenging. It's just so many of us are so unfamiliar with plant-based eating or vegan eating that it's like, well, wait, what do you eat? You just eat rabbit food, salads? Like, are you out there just like cutting your grass?
And I think we as plant-based eaters, we may take it for granted that we've done the research and we, you know, we know we're more familiar with the territory. But some people, you know, some people out there still may not even understand what the differences are between vegetarian, vegan, plant-based. So they're kind of going from what they see on TV, what they read in social media. So those opinions may be extreme views as well. So, but they just don't know any better. So it's very, it's very layered and interesting.
It's so layered. So interesting. It can be hard too, similar to kind of like what Katie said earlier. It's like, it's hard when you don't maybe have that support of family or friends or even healthcare practitioners. Like it can make the transition, especially, or even just being plant-based in general, a bit more challenging when there is that constant sort of like gnawing at you with like various comments and advice that you really don't want. But the ultimate thing is that you have to decide what is most important for you. And are you going to be stopped by other people's negative comments, or are you going to keep going? And I know what the answer is, because I know you as a listener, and I know Katie, and I know me, but we're not going to stop by other people's comments, right?
Yeah, we're going to keep going.
Yeah. So let's get into why that may be. So I had referred to, you know, we're going to talk about Dr. Doug Lyle and some of the like things that he says in regards to why people may give you a hard time for being plant-based. And in his book, he talks more about like, quote, health, but I'm going to speak more specifically to just plant-based eating, is that, and this is a quote from him or from the book, quote, "These people will often attempt to relieve their own psychological discomfort by pressuring you to change," end quote. So people may find your way of eating offensive. They might criticize you for it. And so I feel like Dr. Doug Lyle explains it nicely in that they're just trying to alleviate their own discomfort by pressuring you to change, to go back to the way that you were.
Because that's the easiest thing. Like, of course I can't be wrong. You have to be the wrong one. You know, that's just like good old fashioned human nature. Right? And it's so fascinating because it's one of those things that like we eat three times a day. So it's not like picking up pottery or something. I mean, this is a new way of living that we have to live three times a day, 7 days a week, 365, right? So it's not something that you can like take a break from or like get away from or try to, you know, not think about. I mean, you have to think about it all the time. And so it can be really isolating. So it can kind of leave a bad taste in your mouth if you don't have that support around you, you know, family, friends, like you said, health practitioners. So it's one thing not to support you, but it's another thing for them to be like, you know, what you're doing is wrong, or what you're doing is offensive, or how are we ever going to have holidays the same again? Families are always good about like guilt tripping you sometimes. Not that I'm talking about anybody specific or anything.
Of course not, no.
So it can be, you know, it can be really, really tough, especially if you're like a lot of us, like if you're really close with your family, or like food is so wrapped up in our culture and how we relate to one another. I'm from the South, so whenever there's family get-togethers, I mean, it's usually surrounded by food. Food is such a big part of, you know, fellowship, and there's like a religious aspect where there's like the fellowship involved, where you break bread, and so much tradition, and all of that comes with a lot of feelings. So if you try to change that, it can make people really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And sometimes, like what Katie's saying, sometimes, like, let's say you go home for a holiday meal and you're not eating the same way that you used to, you're eating more plant-based. Sometimes people, family members, friends may see your new habits, you eating plant-based, as a threat to what they're doing. And they talk about that in the book a little bit, that people just might be a little threatened by what you're doing because, you know, you're creating these new habits. You might be feeling really good. Maybe you're really enthusiastic about it, but subconsciously the people around you, maybe they're not paying attention to their habits or what they're eating, and they continue to eat the same way. And they may feel, again, this is kind of summarizing from the book, they may feel inadequate and try to cover up that discomfort by defending how they're eating or defending the food that's on their plate, and in turn kind of scrutinizing what you're doing.
So I don't think that stops at plant-based versus vegan versus vegetarian. I think that could mean, you know, it's the beginning of the year, so people have a tendency to be more health conscious. So that's, am I going to stop drinking when I used to, you know, go to the bars every weekend? So I think it, you know, it's not just limited to the plant-based community. It's, you know, whenever you have kind of a big lifestyle change that you didn't used to. So people all of a sudden have to look at you differently, and maybe their behavior has to change, or they're just kind of forced to kind of reflect on themselves and think, is there something wrong? Should I be limiting? Should I be more health conscious? Should I be watching what I eat? You know, it just makes them look inward, and maybe they're not ready for that, which is totally fine. Everybody has their own path. And I think that's where some of the feathers can get ruffled, because it's almost like they're inferring that you're being judgmental towards them. And I'm sure there are very judgmental plant-based people out there. but just because I'm choosing to live one way doesn't mean I'm automatically saying, I think what you're doing is awful and you're a horrible person for doing it that way, because I literally was doing the same thing yesterday. You know, like, one thing I've really enjoyed about getting older, and the only thing I've enjoyed, one of the only things, is that the space in my head that I used to fill up with kind of caring about what people thought about my life and my decisions and how that affected how I kind of walked through the world is a lot less now. So I think as you get older, you can kind of let some of that go. And so that would be my biggest advice to young people that are listening, or anybody really, is to, you have to do what we're only on this rock for a short amount of time. And as you get older, where you realize that, because you're way more in touch with your mortality. So you have to really start to tune out the noise. And that's one of my favorite pieces of advice, is to tune out the noise and really just look inward and do what feels best for you. It's not what your partner wants you to do. It's not what your parents want you to do. It's not what your peer group or the influencers on social media want you to do. You really have to make yourself happy, and that you have to be number one. And that's so hard. It is so hard to do, especially if it's a habit that you have carried around like I have. But once you let that go, it's so liberating. And when you can really start to tune out that noise, and that goes for people who are on, you know, both sides of the fences, to just don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Just do what makes you happy.
Yes.
Because it is, you know, life is short, and that is so cliche, but it's so true. And you're just able, once you can kind of realize that kind of make yourself happy, everything, you know, the colors become brighter and everything tastes better. And, you know, you're just living for you instead of taking so much time worrying about everybody else, which you just have no control over. But what you do have control is, you know, what you want and the goals that you're working for.
Right. Because even if you are choosing the very best path for you, it doesn't matter, because there are going to be some people who are irritated about it and some people who aren't, some people who are confused about it and some people who may understand. And so it really is up to you, like Katie said, is to really just continue walking the walk that you know is best for you. And this is also pulling from the book, and what they say too is, with you like being plant-based, is, quote, your behavior looks too different, and the person on the other end, they feel the need to pressure you into conformity, end quote, which I think is also really interesting. So it really is up to you to, like Katie said, okay, if someone's trying to get you to go back to your old ways or to conform to what they're doing, it's like, no, put on those blinders, silence the noise, and just do you, because you know you best and you know the path that is best for you.
And that may be maybe a skill that you have to learn, to tune out the noise, right? Where you might have to just tune it out like a little bit at a time. So first you tune out like society, like everybody say you should do this. Again, not to exclude men in the conversation, but I can only speak as women. Like, we have lots of shoulds. You should get married by then. You should have babies by then. You should have it all. You should be able to work and have a family, and you should have a warm meal on the table, and you should be a size whatever. And, you know, there's lots of shoulds. So, you know, you might have to tune that out, and then tune your parents out, and then tune your friends out a little bit at a time. So all of us, I think we want to be loved, and we want to be, you know, we want everybody to like us, and we want to make everybody proud of us. But the number one person that we should be trying to make proud is ourselves. If we don't do that, it's just a miserable existence, because you're never going to find that satisfaction. You're always going to be looking for that kind of external validation. And it's just a race that you're just never going to win. So it's got to start inside. So that, you know, that pressure to kind of be like everybody else, you know, as we get older, you know, in school, you want to be like everybody else, right? And so you have years and years and years where you want to just blend in and be like everybody else. And then once you get out, it's hard not to do that anymore. So, you know, I'm definitely a believer in, you know, marching to the beat of your own drum.
And I love that about you. And that definitely resonates with me, because I've spent a lot of my life really trying to please other people. And it really wasn't until I started hiring coaches, investing in myself, and just realizing that, and going to therapy, so many things that, yeah, we love therapy here. Just realizing how it is so important to make yourself proud as well. And that's definitely changed a lot of, not a lot of my decisions, but decisions here and there. I've just thought more about them and how they impact me than maybe what other people would think. So, yeah.
And yeah, they probably make it a little bit easier to make those decisions instead of like going back and forth. What will they think? Like, you know what you think.
Yes. Yeah. 100%. And when you're grounded in that, it's like, it's a no brainer. It's like, all right, I'm going for it. Just like plant-based eating.
Yeah.
So another thing, and this is also pulling from the book, is that when you are going plant-based and when you're transitioning, and maybe this is speaking to you, is that it can become annoying for other people, friends or family, who do challenge you or who are questioning why you're doing what you're doing. It can become annoying for them because they start to see you as a constant reminder of the healthy habits or just any habits that they want to stop doing. They're like, oh, well, they're doing that. Shoot. Well, I'm still doing this. And so it can become kind of frustrating and annoying for them to see you doing what you're doing, really excited about it, feeling really good and enthusiastic about it. And then they're like, well, I'm not doing that. And so that can be another reason why people lash out or question or challenge what it is that you're doing.
And I think it's also a reminder, and I think this goes both ways. So we're going to get into this a little bit later, but I think it's a good reminder to, when someone is excited about something, I mean, doesn't that feel so rare, you know, from in the crazy world that we're living in? Like if my friend came to me and was like, oh my gosh, I just got this new job, or I just bought this new shirt, or like my kid did this amazing thing. Like if they're excited about something, be their cheerleader. Don't be their Debbie Downer and like put your stuff on them. Like learn to be people's cheerleader. And I know it's really hard because everybody's going through crazy pandemic nonsense right now, but I think it's a good reminder also for the people that I hope everyone will join us in this conversation and be really open and okay with it. But I think us vegans and plant-based people need to be people that are just starting, be their cheerleader too. So if they're just doing Meatless Mondays, that doesn't make them like less of a vegan or not part of the club. Like we need to be their community and embracing them instead of saying that's not good enough. Because for me, I would rather them, instead of eating meat 7 days a week, I'd rather them do Meatless Mondays. I mean, that's better for their health, for the animals, for the environment, whatever perspective you take, that's a little bit is better than nothing. So I think it's a good reminder for us to be, no matter which side you're on, no matter which topic you're talking about, is if someone's excited about doing something new, as long as it's not hurting someone and they're excited about it, you know, be their cheerleader.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's so much more like encouraging and empowering when mm-hmm. you come at it from that perspective.
Yes.
Okay, Katie. So we're going plant-based and people are kind of questioning us, challenging us. How do we become almost like our biggest cheerleader or hold ourselves accountable or continue to like fight the fight that we want versus going down the path maybe somebody else wants us to conform to?
Yeah, great question. And I think we talked about this the other day. I think we always say progress over for perfection, but one word that sticks out is consistency. So I want to hold myself accountable and build trust with myself that if I make a promise to myself, like, hey, I'm going to try to be more health conscious, or hey, I'm going to eat more plants, or hey, I'm going to not drink as much, or I'm going to put more movement in my everyday life, get 10,000 steps every day. It doesn't matter. Whatever you promise yourself, if you have a goal and you want to improve your life or whatever, I think consistency, making small choices each day to reach that goal, to help build trust, I think is super important. And I don't want to completely exclude the people in your life. Like I want them to be involved as well, but you guys know those people. So I have certain people in my life that I want to help keep me accountable. And so they know who they are. So I'm like, if I'm doing something that doesn't align with what I have discussed with them or doesn't align with the promises that I've made myself, then they can kind of keep me in check and say, hey, remember we talked about this, you know, what happened to that? You know, you haven't been keeping up with that. And that's a way for them to be involved. Does everybody in my circle do that? No, there's just certain people you don't want to hear criticism from, at least for me.
Yep. And also too, I think what you're talking about is really good in that it sounds like the people in your life who do help hold you accountable, they're coming from a place of curiosity versus judgment. They're not judging you for what you're doing. They're like, oh, hey, you know, Katie, by the way, we talked about this, like, what's up?
Yes. Yes. And I'm very specific. So a group of friends were kind of being our movement accountability buddies this weekend. So we set parameters and we're like, okay, we're going to check in every week with each other and just see where we're at. And when we have a success, we're going to share that. And when we're having a bad day, we're going to share that. And we're going to pump each other up when we're down, and we're going to pump each other up when we have a success and share in that celebration. So that to me is accountability that helps me with consistency, but doesn't bring me down. There's definitely an accountability where you can be like, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done this? You're not good enough. That was a shitty choice, you know, whatever. There's definitely a way to do it. So if you have those people in your life that have the capability to do that, then by all means, involve them, you know, keeping yourself accountable and involve them in your decision-making. Like if you have someone that you trust and you're like, I'm not sure what to do and I'm trying to tune out the noise and I'm not sure what I'm thinking inside, you know, involve them, don't exclude them, but just make sure you identify who is in your life that's going to build you up. And then the people that aren't capable of that because they're dealing with their own stuff, you know, let them be involved in your life in another capacity. Yeah.
Yep. I couldn't agree more. And that's a big reason why I have hired coaches, therapists. I speak openly with Nick, my partner, like, because it is helpful to have that open line of communication. And Katie, it's something that I ask every single client before they start working with me. And I know you do the same, is, hey, it's easy to celebrate those wins.
Yes.
But when the lows come, because we know with any journey, there are going to be some lows along the way. There's going to be some speed bumps. You've got to be willing, and they have to agree to this before signing on to work with us. You've got to be willing to share those with me, to be vulnerable, to reach out when you do need help, which is hard, but it's also a necessary part of the process, especially when you have someone that you can go to for help.
Yeah. Side note, if you haven't seen Brené Brown's vulnerability Netflix special, it's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah. Being vulnerable is really hard. So you don't want to be vulnerable with someone who's not sensitive to how they say things or what energy they're going to bring to the table. And just to give Ashley a shout out, that's why I think I was able to have so much success, is because she is not one of those people that kind of like rules with an iron fist. She's very supportive. It's like you, it's like she holds you in like a little cocoon and like you're, you feel safe. And I know that sounds so silly, but like when you are vulnerable, and I've said this on the podcast before, like our first like six sessions, I literally sobbed the whole time. So I was feeling very vulnerable. and so she just holds you up. So you need to find someone in your life like that. And I know not all of us have the luxury of, you know, that looking like a family member or a relative or a partner or a friend. So you may need to seek out someone, you know, in the online community. And that is, I have so many people that I have found online that are my day-to-day part of my day-to-day support system, that they are either leading by example or they're always there to lend a listening ear, you know, from 3,000 miles away, because we have similar ideologies and similar, you know, like-minded views about things. And it was just simply reaching out because we have common interests. So that could be, you know, it could be someone who you both like anime, or someone who you both like Quentin Tarantino, or, you know, you both like cooking, or, you know, whatever, you know, find those like-minded individuals, and just, they don't have to be, you know, your intimate relatives or people that you see every day. And if you don't have one, it's a perfect time, because our group coaching starts next week, January 19th, and we have an awesome online community. So if you are one of those people who are like looking around in your circle and you're like, I don't have anybody that holds me like a cocoon, you know, we're there for you. So think about it if you don't have one. And we also have our online Facebook group that you can join, which is also a great support system too.
Yes, both are wonderful. And the group coaching program starts in 2 days.
Woo!
Let's switch gears and talk about how we can respond to maybe these people in our lives who are a bit uncomfortable with what it is that we're doing and who do challenge us. So it can be really tough to know when it's appropriate to like give advice or to how to respond to certain comments. And it's really helpful to kind of take a step back and be intentional with how you respond to these types of things. And what's also helpful, and what's been helpful for me, and I know Katie, it's been helpful for you too, is to really remember like your own journey, where you came from and what you used to think of plant-based eaters or vegans before you ever went plant-based or vegan. Cause I know I had some pretty strong opinions before I met my first, heck, even when I met my first vegetarians and vegans, I was like, what is going on? Y'all are crazy. But it is, it's helpful to remember where you came from and to kind of put yourself in those people's shoes who are making comments about your way of eating now, because it just helps, at least for me. And they talk about this in the book too. It just kind of puts things in perspective when you remember your own journey as well.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it also helps, it helps me anyway. Anytime I have something that I need to speak about in a group setting or in front of a lot of people, I feel more confident when I'm prepared. So especially those that are new, and I think we talked about this maybe in the holiday survival guide, is that you want to understand your why. Why are you doing it, like, as a baseline? Like, that's the first thing that you should figure out, you know, when you go plant-based, is why am I doing this? And not just because I want to lose weight or just for the animals. Like, you want to really dig deep and think about, okay, how is this going to change my life for the better? And how can I communicate that to the people that love me when they are going to ask questions? So that's another thing, is to expect that the questions are going to come. And then the more you can prepare and kind of do your own research, and or the more prepared you are, the more comfortable and confident you are going to be able to talk about it. So you can be more proactive as opposed to reactive. I think that's a really important distinction.
Yep, I agree. Absolutely. When, and the more you do it, like Katie's talking about, the more you're in situations like this, I mean, they're not bad situations to be in, because it really just gives you an opportunity to continue to practice and how to respond and how to be proactive and not reactive. And that's one of the things too, in responding to people, is it's you're more than likely, they're not going to change your mind and you're not going to change their mind, especially in one sitting. But I will tell you from personal experience, maybe you've experienced as well, the listener, and I know Katie has, is like when you're doing something and you're excited about it and you share it in a positive way, it's contagious. People, you know, start to look at you, and especially people in your, you know, closer circle, they're like, oh, maybe there is something to eating more plants. Wow. You know, Katie's feeling a lot better, or Ashley's going to the bathroom more regularly. Like, you know, maybe there is something to this. So your, what you do is going to have a ripple effect in your circle of friends or family. I've seen that in my own life. And I know Katie's seen that in her life as well.
Yeah. And it's really about how you present it. So you really want to keep it like, I feel better. Oh my gosh, this photo is so good to me. You know, you want to keep it about you and not, oh my gosh, you would feel better if you tried it. You know, you would. You know, there's a difference between celebrating yourself and then kind of trying to push that experience onto someone. Because as soon as someone does that to me, I immediately, I'm like, I'm just like type A. I'm like, again, I march to the beat of my own drums. And I'm like, don't tell me what to do. And so many people are like that, and that's just human psychology. If I choose to do it, like, I get way more excited about it. But if someone tells me to do the same thing and they make me do it, then I'm like, that's not as fun anymore. You know, I think when you're trying to like lead by example, and this is just my opinion, I think when you're trying to lead by example, you should just make it about you and be very careful about your words, because just how you want them to be sensitive about how they respond to you, you want to be sensitive about, you know, how you are presenting these kind of new things, because we already talked about the psychology of like, okay, maybe that's going to put someone automatically on the defense and have to kind of examine what their choices are. So if you know that's going to happen, you just want to be sensitive, just, you know, treat people like you want to be treated. So just be careful, you know, be excited about you and then not try to, you know, push that experience onto them. What do you think, Ashley?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think mentioning, and this is sort of like the first thing in responding to people, is really mentioning all the amazing benefits that you're getting from what you're doing is much better than saying, oh, well, you should do this because you know, you'll probably go to the bathroom more, or, oh, you know, you're struggling with this. Well, you should do this because it's going to make you feel better. It does. It comes across so much more approachable when you yeah. talk about, yeah, I've had, you know, just some really great things happen. Like, I feel so much better. Maybe you mention your doctor, your dietitian's on board, fingers crossed that they are. It just, it makes it sound, like I said, a lot more approachable, a lot more attainable than if you were to quote, should somebody else.
Yeah. And I think listening, I think that's important for any communication, right? Between anybody about anything, is you want to listen. And if they're curious about it, you know, tell them your authentic, genuine experience without being, you know, preachy about it, if that makes sense. So, you know, no one likes to be preached to, but people get excited when they're like, okay, I want to, you know, I want to feel better. I want my skin to look better. I want to have lots of energy. I want to sleep better. I want to, you know, have better digestion. That's usually the clincher. That's the good one. Yeah.
And so that's sort of the first thing, is like mentioning all the amazing benefits. Again, if this person commenting, this is like, if they're sort of like challenging you, this is how maybe you can say some things that are somewhat receptive, is just mentioning the amazing benefits, walking the walk, and like doing your thing, but not trying to. This is sort of like the second thing, is just like, you wouldn't want to be converted back to eating meat. You know, you're not going to be able to change them in just one sitting. So really, if they're receptive to it, like if they're challenging you, but you can also sense that maybe they're curious, or maybe you've known this person for a really long time and they are interested, point them to some educational materials if that's what they're looking for. So you never know what walking the walk, talking about the benefits, and then being like, oh, hey, well, if you're curious, you can always check this out if you want, or I'll text it to you later if you want to read more about it.
Yeah. And I don't know how your friend group is, because I mean, honestly, most of my like real life friends are not plant-based. So they know that I am, and they know that I'm here if they ever have questions, but rarely do I talk about it with them unless like I've had a cool victory or I have something to celebrate. But I'm not like, every time I see them, I'm like, are you guys vegan yet? Because they wouldn't invite me places anymore.
Right. So true.
Because it goes vice versa, because if they were trying to convert me to something that I knew that I was not interested in, I wouldn't want to invite them either. And they respect that from me, because we all have very different views about lots of different things. And don't get me wrong, I think there's a time and a place for advocacy. Sitting around with my friends where when it's COVID and I haven't seen them for months, you know, that's not the time for advocacy, in my opinion. Or like at Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner, like that's just not, again, life is short, and that's not what I want to be talking about, the people that I don't get to see very often, about at that moment.
Yes. Yes. And that's a good point too. It reminded me of someone who's in my life who still gives me a bit of a hard time for being vegan. And they'll still ask me, well, why can't you just have this cheese lasagna? Like, it's just one meal. And it's like, oh my goodness, please just stop. But in some of those instances, you just kind of have to be like, no, thank you. And also too, this person is older, just being like, okay, you know, smile and nod. And it's like, you know, they're going to continue saying what they're saying. I'm not trying to convert them. They are still trying to convert me back, but it ain't happening. So yeah, sometimes the smile and nod is also the best method when people are coming at you.
I think there's a time and a place, and everybody has their role. And, you know, my role, I choose to celebrate people for small victories and embrace them when they choose to kind of dip their toe in, as opposed to shunning them until they are all in. I just think that for me, if I'm going to be an advocate, that is how I'm going to be the most effective. I'm just not that person that's just going to shame someone to death to get them to convert. And I know that is an effective way to get people to convert sometimes, but not everybody is going to work that way. So I think we should all be open to the possibility that if we all have this one collective goal, that we can get there different ways. And so this is the way that I feel like I would be most effective. I feel like a lot of people would be receptive to, as opposed to kind of the guilt, shame aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's, I was actually just listening to a podcast, and we can link it below as well. There's a lot of research out there to support what you're saying and approaching it in a more positive light versus a negative one, that the likelihood of behavior change is much greater when you do it that way. And I think too, and this is kind of the third thing in responding to other people, is that people really have to experience it for themselves as well. And so really, no matter how enthusiastic you are about being plant-based or going plant-based, at the same time, what can be really helpful too is to be respectful of others. And just, again, going back to remembering where you came from and why you're doing what you're doing, and also remembering to make what you're doing about what is best for you. And again, going back to like what Katie kept saying, is to just tune out that incoming negativity, as best as possible. To summarize what we've been talking about really is that when people do give you a hard time for being plant-based, the why behind that, or at least one of the whys behind that, is again, coming from the book, that these types of people, they are really just trying to relieve their own psychological discomfort in pressuring you to change or conform, or to do what you've always done, or to do what they're doing. So it is so much more about them and so much less about you. It's so much more about their own discomfort than about what it is that you are doing.
And I think we're all guilty of it too.
Totally.
We're definitely not, you know, sitting up on our high horses pointing fingers. Like, I have definitely been guilty of that, just because it's so much easier to focus on that than kind of dealing with why we think the way we do, or, challenging those really old traditions of societal pressures and things. So, but I just find it very fascinating to just, you know, take the time to really think about why we do the things that we do, and then how can we use that information to change our behavior for the better.
Well, I'm so glad we got to talk about this. I hope it was as helpful for you listening as it was for Katie and I, because I'll tell you what, researching this, I was like, wow, this is just fascinating stuff. And it definitely helped me, again, check myself and what I'm doing, and maybe pressuring other people to conform to certain things that I do, and vice versa. So it was an eye-opening experience for me, and I hope you found it beneficial as well.
I hope that those of you who are listening, you know, what you take away from this podcast is that you don't let something like "I'm scared of what people are going to think about me" discourage you from taking a step down the road to plant-based. So I hope this kind of sheds some light on that and makes it so you can deal with those situations a little bit easier now, face them head on, instead of letting it discourage you from kind of diving in.
Yeah. Great way to end that. I love that. All right. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. If you're looking for any extra support or guidance on your plant-based journey, my group coaching program starts on January 19th, 2022. It's 12 weeks long, and we are going to have so much fun. I'm just so excited. When I've run this in the past, every single person who has participated has said that the community aspect of this group coaching program is the best part of it. So I cannot wait to get this group together and see what happens, because marvelous things are going to happen. I just know it. Also too, there is the Positively Plant-Based course. So if you're looking for something that's more at your own pace, self-guided, it's all virtual, you can absolutely do that as well. I've linked both of those below, so definitely check them out if you are interested. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. Happy New Year to you. Thank you again for being here.